coming up on The Potter's Touch.
You've become real good at doing something that is unfruitful, and you've got to be willing to change. I decree and declare there will be massive change in your life. You will not waste another year building up a muscle group you don't need. God is getting ready to put you in areas that's going to stretch the weaknesses in you that they may become stronger. Now, what is happening here is Moses is leading people with motion sickness. He is leading people with motion sickness. I don't have much motion sickness, but my wife has a lot of motion sickness. She can ride in a car most of the time, but maybe not in the back seat. She doesn't do well on a boat, so a cruise is a challenge because motion makes her sick. It's called motion sickness. And if she doesn't take some medicine, she can't take a boat ride because of motion sickness. And most of us are leading people who have motion sickness. Moses is leading people who haven't moved for 430 years. And now he's got them living on the road. And the very fact that they have motion sickness makes them difficult to move. And Moses is a leader, and the only metric of leadership is movement. If he doesn't move, he's not a leader. But if he moves them, they're going to have motion sickness because they have not moved for 430 years. They have spiritual atrophy. Most churches have spiritual atrophy. Atrophy is when you haven't moved something in so long, it ceases to move without pain. Most churches have spiritual atrophy. No, we've always done it like that. You always sing the song before you read the prayer. Deacon Wilson always takes up the offering. That's atrophy. Anytime people start talking about always and they worship normalcy more than they worship movement, it becomes difficult to lead them because they're uncomfortable with change. And Moses has the dubious task of trying to move people who have spent 430 years being motionless. So the Bible says that they were moved by God from place to place. And anytime God has you moving from place to place, you're leading through uncertainty. You don't know what's going to happen next. Reading their journey is like reading a good movie. One moment they're fighting Amalek at Rephidim, and the next moment they can't find any water. The next chapter you turn over into, the snakes are coming out and biting them. And the next chapter you turn into, God has covered them with a cloud of fire to keep them warm at night. And the moment you get used to the cloud of fire, he has turned into a pillar of smoke by day. And then you turn past the next chapter and they come to a place filled with palm trees and fresh water. And you walk on a little further and they come to a dry place. And every time they kept moving, they kept blaming Moses because they had motion sickness. They had moved for 430 years. Some of you listening at me right now have not changed in 20 or 30 years, and you keep waiting for God to make it like it was. And success for you is for God to take you back to what you're used to. But I came to tell you that God has closed up the Red Sea, and you can't go back to what it was. You must adapt to what it is, what it is. You gotta adapt to what it is, not what it was, not what it will be. You got to adapt to what it is, what it is. So they got road rage because they're out of their comfort zone. They got road rage because they're being stretched. They got road rage because they have to use their lesser used muscles. Pastor Tubman, I listened to one trainer talk about how some of these guys can be all buff and be built and be muscular and be muscle bound and have big muscles and can't handle small weights. Because just because you got big muscles right here don't mean you got big muscles right here. The muscle you work on is the muscle that builds. So you can look good and get in a fight and get your tail whipped because you worked out on the wrong muscles. Some of you have been working real hard on the wrong muscle set. You've become real good at doing something that is unfruitful, and you've got to be willing to change. I decree and declare there will be massive change in your life. You will not waste another year building up a muscle group you don't need. God is getting ready to put you in areas that's going to stretch the weaknesses in you that they may become stronger. So Moses went from leadership to learning. He went from leadership to learning. And when he gets to Jethro's house, he learns by handling sheep, which is practice for handling people. When he gets to the burning bush, he learns how to do his miracles in the privacy before God before he does it in front of his enemies. Because if it doesn't work in the glory, it ain't gonna work in your life. Can I go deeper with this? Now he's leading the people, but he's leading them like they're sheep. The sheep have one shepherd and a stranger's voice they will not follow. So Moses is leading the children of Israel, and all roads lead to him. All decisions come to him. All responsibilities come to him. And Jethro comes down to visit him. And when Jethro comes down to visit him, the Bible says that Jethro just sat back and watched him all day long. This is one generation watching another generation. He watched him all day long. And Moses did nothing all day but hear the grievances of the people who had road rage. She took my this. She's using my tent. He stole my wife. They ran off with my kid. This one took my dog. This one took my cat. And at the end of the day, Moses was exhausted. Moses was exhausted. And when his father-in-law looked at him and he said, "You're not doing it right. The journey is too great for you to do with the procedure you have in place. You got a sheep procedure in a national opportunity." Am I talking to anybody? And then God says to him, "You can't be a one-man band like you were with the sheep, because these are people. They're going to have all kind of problems. They can talk. Anything that can talk is going to give you some trouble. That's why a dog is a man's best friend. I don't care what you say to me, a dog, I don't know if it's true about women, but a dog is a man's best friend, because a dog will lick you, lock you, and never say nothing. Everybody else got a mouth, gonna talk." So then God says to him, something I'm gonna make a quick illustration. Is Don nearby? I want Don to come, I want Frank to come, I want Hattie to come right quick and just stand right up on stage here for a minute. Oh yeah, Sister Sutton. She's not Sister Hill anymore. Gotta keep up with this. And honey, you come and stand. And y'all stand in front of me, straight across facing the people. Now, yeah, just straight across like Hattie's doing. Just stand right there. Now, my wife runs the women's department. Frank is my COO over the Potter's house. Don is the executive director of security and safety here at the Potter's house. Hattie Hill is the president of T.D. Jakes Foundation. I didn't pet you, let me pet you. Everybody I patted, I put pain on. Every one of these people is worried about something that I would have to worry about if they didn't. So what I'm teaching you is that as the vision gets bigger, you need weight distribution. Weight distribution is worry alignment. That means I gave her something to worry about. I gave him something to worry about. I gave him something to worry about. I gave her something to worry about. All of it would be my worry, but now they share the worry. Who is sharing your worry? Or do you keep on taking on more and more and more and got less weight distribution? So all of a sudden, he's worried about what I don't have to be worried about. And if he ain't worried about it, I'm worried about him. Okay? I got in a staff meeting and flipped completely out, and I said, I'm angry because you are not. Because if you would have been angry, I wouldn't have got to be angry. You'd have fixed it before it got to me. So this, though it looks like titles and position and power, is really weight distribution. Because the journey is too great, and the meetings are too many, and the demands are too massive for me to be all of them. Now, there are more that I could call up here. This is just an example. Who is sharing the weight? Who is sharing the weight? If you don't get weight distribution, you are going to burn up, not because it wasn't yours, but because you have not learned how to let go and distribute weight. And you know why you don't distribute weight? Because you got control issues. And as long as you got control issues, you got growth limitations. I want you to lift up your offering before the Lord. Just lift it up. Whether you texted or sowed it or wrote it or whatever, just lift it up. You that are home, lift up your hands as we offer. There's something about lifting it up makes you recognize that you're offering to God your seed. Father, we offer this offering up to you that it might go before you as a sweet-smelling savor. There are some things that you and I have been talking about. There are some things that you and your people have been talking about. And this is part of our conversation that we sow into our request. We don't just ask for it, but we sow into our request. We sow into our victory. We sow into our deliverance. We sow into the overcoming power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. For we know it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. This is the one place where Moses blows it. The first time God said, smite the rock, he hit the rock, boom, and the water came out, and God was pleased because he obeyed. By the second time, the people's road rage had gotten so bad that Moses got mad. Every other time the people railed against him, he prayed, and he was okay. But they triggered his old demon. He had always had an anger problem. Remember when he saw the Hebrew and the Egyptian fighting, and Moses looked out the window and got mad and went out there and had never been a warrior and murdered the Egyptian? Him having anger is what caused him to go to the desert in the first place. But all the while, he was suppressing his rage. All the while they had road rage, he was suppressing his rage. The rage is contagious. The rage that has been on them has now gotten to him. It has triggered what he has been suppressing. And now when they rev up against him and they start talking to him and saying, we're thirsty. I know he wanted to say, so am I. You think I don't have a mouth? If you ain't drinking none, I ain't either. You think I'm not human? This is my problem. Do I make water? So God says to him, watch this closely, and this is my close. God said to him, speak to the rock that they may drink. But Moses listened to them and made a decision in rage Note to all leaders, never decide while you're mad. He made a decision in rage, and the Bible says that he smote the rock twice. And when he smote the rock, the water still flowed. In spite of, you don't hear that. Did you hear what I just said? The water still flowed in spite of his disobedience. Just because your water's flowing doesn't mean you're living right. Moses did it all wrong and the water still flowed. But as they were drinking because of his road rage, combined with their road rage, God said to him, you will not see the promised land because you disobeyed me. The reason that God told him to smite the rock the first time is because the rock in the Old Testament is a type of Christ who was smitten for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of his peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. But he was only supposed to be smitten once. When God told him that, when he told God they need water, he said, don't hit it again, because you're going to break the type. Speak to the rock, because once the rock has been smitten once, whenever you need water, he will never have to go through what he went through the first time, because one smite did it all. Whenever you need healing, whenever you need deliverance, whenever you need a breakthrough, you'll never have to go through this again. No man took his life, he laid it down. And if he laid it down, he will pick it back up again. And now he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He'll never have to go back to the cross again. And when Moses hit the rock twice, he didn't know it, but he lied on Jesus. He acted like once was not enough. And God wanted us to know, I got it all done with the first blow, so that all of your needs can be supplied according to his riches and glory. But because Moses got road rage, he broke the shadow and lost his ticket to the promised land. So he led them to a place that he never got to go himself, because he never got rid of his rage. What are you angry about? How can you let your anger forfeit your prophecy? Your anger is about to terminate God's plan for your life. I plan for you to go to the promised land. But if you don't get a grip on your anger, you're going to lose your calling. Who am I talking to? How many decisions have you made out of road rage? Sometimes you're angry with people who aren't even here anymore. Three things: leading, learning, and legacy. Moses messed up his legacy. In a moment of rage, he forfeited the destination. I went to Mount Nebo and stood on top of it. He was so close to the promised land. I mean, you can see it clearly from the top of Mount Nebo. You can see the greenery. The desert is over here, and the greenery is over here. The shepherds were grazing in the field when I was there. I could see the shepherds grazing in the field. I could see the work going on and the vineyards that were going on all around the Jordan. On one side, it's all sand, and on the other side, it's all life. And from Mount Nebo, you can see for miles. Moses got to see it, but he never got to be it, because he had road rage. I speak to every one of you that are watching me all over the world. That rage undealt with is going to kill you. It will not kill the person you're mad at. It will kill you. You drank the poison, and now you're waiting on them to die. Until you release that rage, you will forfeit your opportunity from having the favor, influence, leadership that God has allocated for you. Your eyes have not seen, your ears have not heard, neither have entered into your heart what God has for you if you will let go of that road rage. Moses' story ends less than what it should have been. His feet should have walked into the promised land, but his anger locked it out. Stand to your feet, everyone. We're standing here today, and I'm asking you for the biggest offering you ever gave in your life. And that offering is honesty. What are you angry about? And are you willing to let it go to be the great woman or the great man you were meant to be? We got a new devil to fight because we're at a new level and we've got to change our game plan. And I'm tired of people feeding me 40-year-old messages to keep me back where I came from. It's time to go up or get out of the way. Or you don't like me. I wish I could just lay on that right there because I got a whole lot to say about that. I'm telling you, be suspicious. Somebody may be poisoning your food. Anybody who's feeding you things that make you feel sorry for yourself, anybody who keeps dragging you back into your past, anybody who keeps holding you down and telling you you can't get up because of somebody else, they're putting poison in your food. Poison in your food, poison in your mind, poison in your thinking. Nobody has to help you. Nobody has to give you anything. Unity would straighten out the whole community. Come on, it's time to let's go higher and decide who we are if God be for us. If one person overcame crack cocaine, then every other addict ought to look at him and say, if he got out of it, I can too. If one person got out of jail and didn't go back, every other person ought to say, listen, I'm not going back where I came from. If one person opened up a business in an inner city or any other part of the city and they made it, what is wrong with you? God has blessed you with the same skills that he did anybody else. You may have to do some digging and dunging, but when we get through digging and dunging you, I expect you to go into the enemy's camp and take back what he stole from you. Notice that phrase, take back what he stole from you, not sit back and whine and then with you, please give me back. Oh, you didn't treat me right. Take it back. Somebody holler, take it back. I don't have time to wait for somebody to give it back. If it's mine, I'm going. Well, I need somebody to help. That's what I'm talking about, cross-pollinating, getting with people who are going in your direction, letting them teach you and train you and equip you and motivate you so you can go to that next level. Innovation is to see something that is not there that could be there, to see the potential to change and alter and innovate it so that you can be creative in your own space. I need innovative people all around me in every aspect of what I do. I need innovative people. Innovative people are not the people who bring you problems. They are the people who bring you solutions. They are the people who stare at the problem until an emergence of a solution begins to develop out of the problem. Even if it has not existed before, innovative creativity is extremely important for you to surround yourself with that level of innovation, to stay abreast on the latest technology, the latest opportunities, the new ways that they're doing things now. We don't need the file cabinets we had when I came along. The world has changed. Innovation is necessary in order for you to be relevant. Are you innovative? And are the people around you innovative? And are they prepared to engage this world and be plugged into a slot that only innovative people can fill? If not, you are lagging behind while you are standing still.
Throughout the ages, history reveals a timeless truth. That the torch of leadership not only blazes trails, but lights the path for those who follow. Every era has its torchbearers who inspire, innovate, and take risks. And when the moment calls for the changing of the guard, a new dawn rises. And the flame multiplies. This is the International Leadership Summit, a place where leaders from all walks are equipped to shape the future. Will your legacy light the way?
Feel free to reach out to us on social media and share your story of how God is impacting your life. We look forward to seeing you next time on the Potter's Stage.